repeat after me. This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. I will have what it says I will have. Today I will be taught the word of God. I boldly confess. My mind is alert. My heart is receptive. I'll never be the same. In Jesus' name, Pastor Andre, feed me this word. Now, you don't have to repeat after me. I want to do it a little different today. I will say our vision statement. We are Deliverance Temple, where we love by living our vision every day. We connect with our Creator continually. We confess our deliverance consistently. We commit to serve creatively. And we communicate Christ's love compassionately. And the goal is, you guys will be able to say it just like I do. Just be able to rattle it off when somebody says, who are you? What do you do? Well, we love. Well, how do you love? We live our vision every day. Well, what is your vision? You'll be able to rattle it off to them. But if you can't rattle it off, if you live it, that's even better. Amen. Amen. All right, so we're going to get into the Word of God. Do you believe is the title of the sermon today. Somebody say that. Do you believe? Do you believe? We're going to go to John chapter 11. It's interesting, as I was setting this up, I realized that today is 11:11, and I'm actually in John 11. And so I'm going to show you something else that's important that I think you will see. So we're going to start just at the first verse, and Mother Mitchell, I'm going to have you read that.
The death of Lazarus. Now a certain man was ill, Lazarus of Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha.
We're talking about, do you believe? Verse 3.
So the sisters sent to him saying, Lord, he whom you love is ill.
I've got 17 points that I want to make. I won't be forever, but I'll be able to make them smooth. So point number one is simply this. God's love for you doesn't always stop trouble from reaching you. The verse said that Lazarus became ill. And the verse also said that Jesus loved Lazarus, but his love for him didn't stop the illness from coming at his door. I need you to understand, trouble is not a sign of the lack or the lack thereof of God's love. Because Job said, a man is born of a few days and full of trouble. Trouble is a part of life. We're in a fallen world. Sickness is a part of the fallen world. Evil is a part of the fallen world. But never allow that to make you think God doesn't love me because I'm experiencing trouble. Because if that was the case, he couldn't love me, any of us, because we've all had some trouble. Some of the trouble is of our own doing. Sometimes we create our own problems. Sometimes someone else schedules problems. Sometimes somebody getting in office that doesn't belong in office causes trouble. Sometimes fools with guns cause trouble. Sometimes drunk people who drink too much cause trouble. Sometimes people being in the bed that they didn't belong in causes trouble. But it's not a sign of God's love for you. Or God's love for humanity. But the truth of the matter, we done messed up a lot of stuff, starting from Adam all the way to Andre. We done messed up a lot of stuff, but God is love. Remember that. John 11:4a. We're going to come back to this verse later. So right now I'm going to give you the first half of the verse, 11:4a.
But when Jesus heard it, he said, this illness does not lead to death.
Point number two. Everything you face is not fatal. I need people to understand that, especially when you act like everything is an emergency. Everything is not an emergency. Everything is not fatal, and everything is not final. Pull yourself together. Oh, I'm freaking out. Why? Because I lost my job. That's not fatal. It's okay to have, and we talk about it in Bible study, it's okay to have a couple days of raw emotions where you're just talk about how you feel, but you can't stay in the same state 6 months later crying about a job that you lost. Go get another job. Everything you face is not fatal. And what Jesus said, this sickness is not unto death. Chill out, people of God. Especially some of you who do not have the finances to be at the doctor all the time. Some stuff you just got to suck it up. Every pain, you can't go to the emergency room because they will not treat it like an emergency. Some of you will stay there. You're going to waste time. Sometimes take a few pills and lay down. Do what you got to do. Everything's not fatal. Calm yourself down. Pull yourself together. Everything's not fatal. Let's look at 11 and 5.
Now, Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus.
Six.
So when he heard that Lazarus was ill, he stayed 2 days longer in the place where he was.
Read that one more time.
So when he heard that Lazarus was ill, he stayed 2 days longer in the place where he was.
Just making sure you read what I read. Point number three. God's love for you doesn't always speed up his interventions for you. Just because he loves you and he knows you're in trouble doesn't mean he's going to act right away. May not come when you want him, but he's always on time. Now, I know in my life, I'm thinking, God, you should have been done. I lose my grammatical correctness. God, you should have been done. You should have moved by now. I've been in this thing a long time. But here's the thing. God does not operate by human time clocks. Thank God he don't operate by human time clocks, because we're so backwards. We take an hour and move the clock and tell somebody we saved some daylight. We ain't saved no daylight. I call it daylight stealing time. You ain't saved nothing. You just moved the clock. And then you act like everything changed, and that's why you're groggy, and now it's getting dark later because somebody had an idea. Let's just change the numbers in the clock. If God was like us, if he was fickle like us, if he changed like us, we would be glad that he didn't move the way we move and doesn't rush in the way we want to rush in. Because there's some folk that I wanted him to take out that later on we was going to get it together and we was going to become great friends. If he took them out when I wanted him to take them out, we wouldn't have that relationship. If every time I got mad at Devin, God had to remove her, she done died 77 deaths by now. I'm so glad God don't move like us. And God's love for you, don't speed him up. He gonna do what he want, when he wants, when he get ready. And truth of the matter, it's not just him waiting when he gets ready. He's waiting for you to get ready. And he'll never bless you above your ability to handle it. So sometimes you just gotta wait. Because he knows what he's doing. He's the controller of the universe. He knows what he's doing. He knows how to tell the tornado wind to stop before it gets to your tree by your house. He knows what he's doing. Trust the Lord. God's love for you doesn't always speed up his intervention. He's going to move. He's going to intervene. He's going to turn it around, but it's going to be done on his time. And it behooves you to stay in it until God does what he's going to do. And I've made up in my mind, if he doesn't move till I get to heaven, it's okay, because he's still been good to me. If I'm still breathing, he's still been good to me. If blood is running warm in my veins, he's still been good to me. If I got the activity of my limbs, he's still been good to me. But let me turn it around. If I was sitting in a wheelchair, he's still being good to me. If I was stuck in ICU, he's still being good to me. Don't look at what I'm going through and determine how good God is. God is good because he's good. Makes no difference what I'm facing. Makes no difference what I'm going through. He's good because he's good. And I don't need him to do everything I want him to do for me to understand that he's good. Sometimes we think God is a glorified Santa Claus. I'm going to sit you out some milk and cookies and you give me everything that's on my list. Listen, God don't work like that. Sometimes your list needs to be ripped up and thrown away. The man that you want that is tall, dark, and handsome, God want to give you somebody bald, white, and fat, but he going to have a whole bunch of money. You better take what God wants to give you. I want a 36, 24, 36. She might be 66, 24, 66, but she'd be the best thing for you. You better take what God has for you. John 11:11.
After saying these things, he said to them, "Our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I go to awaken him."
I like the way Jesus approached the whole thing. In his mind, he said, this sickness is not to death. So I'm not even going to treat it like death. I'm going to treat it like sleep. So when he spoke that our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I'm going to wake him. Verse 12.
The disciples said to him, "Lord, if he has fallen asleep, he will recover." The
disciples said, "Well, if he's sleeping, you know, let him wake up. Maybe he took too many Ambien. He'll wake up later. What's that got to do with us?" 11:14.
Then Jesus told them plainly, "Lazarus has died."
He was trying to be faithful and talk faith. But sometimes when you're around dull-minded people, you have to bring them down and just tell them just what it is, because they're not catching it. You say, somebody asks you, "How you doing?" "I'm blessed of the Lord." "But didn't you get laid off?" "I'm blessed of the Lord." "But didn't you get laid off?" "I'm blessed of the Lord." "Didn't you get laid off?" Listen, I'm trying to be positive. You have to break it down for people. You have to break it down so people can understand. So you had to break it down. But let's look at point number four. Sometimes spiritual people around you can't discern what's going on with you unless Jesus tells them plainly. Now, I need you to understand that, because sometimes you can sit in the same church with people and be mad at them because they didn't know what you were going through.
That's
but
right.
Sometimes unless Jesus shows them, they're not going to know.
That's right.
Because everybody's got their own problem. And yes, we should discern somebody else's problems, but the reason why I didn't discern it, because you don't know what I'm dealing with. You don't know what I'm facing. So don't leave the church because somebody didn't hug you when you were going through. The reason why they didn't hug you, because they needed to hug themselves. Don't be so fickle. Everybody don't know what you're going through. That church knew I was standing in the soup line. No, we didn't. It was a lot of us standing in the soup line. We was just further back than you. We didn't know you was up there. If we knew he was there, we would have asked to cut in line and get up there with you so we can get some soup faster. Everybody is dealing with something. You are not the only person in the universe. And so if somebody doesn't know what you're going through without you telling them, don't be mad at everybody. Sometimes Jesus just didn't show them. Verse 15.
"And for your sake, I am glad that I was not there, so that you may believe, but let us go to him."
He makes a statement to the disciples. He said, "I'm actually doing this for your sake." And point number five, sometimes what you're going through isn't even about you. Sometimes you have to understand that the Bible says we are bought with a price. That means we are God's property. That means that God has redeemed us and we belong to him and our life is not our own. And the Bible says we should take up our cross and follow him. But we don't always know how to do that, because taking up your cross means denying yourself. And we always don't know how to deny ourselves. We can talk a good game, but we don't really know how to do it. I can tell you in January, I'm going to lose weight. I'm going to the gym. But when I see a chocolate cake that is glistening and moist, it's something that happens to my will to say, I'm going to have a cheat day and another cheat day. And before I know it, it's May, and I've been cheating till May. So we don't often know how to deny ourselves. So sometimes God has to allow us to put us in positions that test our faith, because it's not about us anyway. The devil is playing checkers, but God is playing chess. And God is strategically moving people where he wants to be. And on a chessboard, certain pieces can move certain ways, and certain pieces have more power, and certain pieces are more important. And sometimes you're wondering why you're going through the hell you're going through, because you graduated to another level of peace on the chessboard. And God is trying to use you to tear down the kingdom of darkness, and you have no idea what he's doing. But God is strategic, and God is moving, and God is making a way. And the reason why he's doing it, because somebody is looking at you, and somebody's going to look at you and count you out, and God's going to get the glory. It's not about you. How about somebody say, it's not about me. It's about the glory of God. 11:17.
Now when Jesus came, he found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb 4 days.
Verse 18.
Bethany was near Jerusalem, about 2 miles off.
Now, when you look at the surrounding verses around it, you look at the previous chapter, we know that Jesus was in the area. And it says, we know that they didn't have cars and trains and buses and planes, but it don't take you that long to go 2 miles. Now, I know some of y'all may take a while, but it don't take 4 days to go 2 miles. And so some scholars believe he was a little further away, but when you look down to it, we realize he could have got there quicker if he wanted to. Point number six. God's proximity to you doesn't trump God's priority through you. Just because he's close enough to intervene doesn't mean he's going to intervene. I've been praying to God. I've been talking to God. I've been fasting. I've been at church, and I'm closer to God than I've ever been, and you still get hit with a hellacious trial. Don't make sense. I got close to God. You're closest to God, and God's closer to you doesn't trump his priority through you. If he's trying to do a work through you, I don't care how close he is to you. If he wants some stuff to die, it's got to die. There's some stuff that we keep putting on the shocking thing that the ambulance have. We keep shocking stuff back to life that God is trying to let die. And sometimes he's got to let it die for you to understand that God has a plan for your life. And you cannot be the purveyor of your own life. You've got to trust in the almighty hand of God. Hold to his hand. God's unchanging hand. Build your hopes on things eternal. Because if you leave it to us, we'll just build our hopes on just for the next month. And just for the next month. And just 2 years down the road. But God has a bigger picture. Let's look at verse 19.
And many of the Jews had come to Martha and Mary to console them concerning their brother.
Now this is interesting. So let me move around just a little bit. So Jesus is over here, and Jerusalem is not that far from Bethany, 2 miles. And some people believe he moved even further close to where he was baptized, but it wasn't that far. But over here, the people that were in the town were coming to Mary and Martha because of the death. And you know, in the first couple days of a death, that's when all the commotion comes. A couple months after death, you may not see the same people, but in that first few days, people are coming. Point number seven, this was a classic setup. Classic setup. Because previous chapters in John, it shows that Jesus was doing stuff, and everything he did, they still wouldn't believe. He healed a blind man, and the blind man got so tired of them bugging him, asking him how this happened, and they told him this man that did it was a sinner, that the blind man finally said, I don't care what he is. I once was blind, now I see. It says some of the people believe, but other folk didn't believe. So what Jesus was doing, he was saying, I'm waiting till the crowd come. Because I'm going to do something that blows their mind, but I want them to see it. I don't want them to catch it on Facebook 12 days later. I want them to see it with their own eyes. That way they can't deny it. That's why I want to see power back in the church. I don't want to just hear about what used to happen. I want some of y'all to see stuff with your own eyes so you know God is real. Yeah. So what Jesus was doing, he was setting it up. It was actually a marketing play. Jesus was a master marketer. He didn't have Facebook. He didn't have Twitter. He didn't have Instagram. But he got more followers than many of us had because he knew how to do something well. Had he moved immediately when it was just Mary and Martha and Lazarus 4 days ago, and had he touched Lazarus, nobody would have saw it. So he chilled out a little bit. Let's let the crowd build because I'm working on something. And when you understand that what God is doing through you is not about you, then you begin to understand that God's plan. God wants somebody else to see what he's getting ready to do in your life. Why do I have so many haters? Because he want your haters who talk about you, he want them to see what he about to do in your life. So let the haters talk. Let the people talk. Let the liars lie. Because what God's getting ready to do in your life, he prepares a table before you in the presence of your enemies. No enemies, no table. No enemies, no table. No haters, no table. So sometimes somebody got to stab you in the back. Somebody has to walk out on you. Somebody's got to turn their nose up at you because God wants them to see this is the Lord's doing. And it's marvelous in our eyes. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. I won't. All of Muncie to see what I'm getting ready to do. I want America to know what I'm getting ready to do. I want everybody to see it. I don't want this to be those little hidden in the back miracle. I want the world to see. Classic setup. Verse 4.
But when Jesus heard it, he said, this illness does not lead to death.
Now remember, at the beginning I said I was coming back to the verse. I read verse 11:4a. Now read the rest of it.
It is for the glory of God, so that the Son of God may be glorified through it.
He had told the disciples ahead of time what he was doing. He said, first of all, this illness is not unto death. It's not fatal, number one. Number two, here, I want you to understand my plan. It is for the glory of God, so that the Son of God may be glorified through it. Which was him. He's saying, it's time for me to be seen. It's now or never. So I'm doing this so it can be seen who I really am. There's some Hallelujah. Stuff that you can't tell it's God because it can be fixed too easy. Oh, I woke up Sunday morning. And I had a headache. And I thought about not coming to church. Oh, but I grabbed 4 aspirin. I drank them with a bottle of wine, and I'm here today. God has delivered me. That may not have been God. That could have been the wine and the aspirin. I know you're testifying, but I need to know for sure it was God. I need to know for sure it was God. I don't want to point it to anything else. I need to know. I need to look at you and say, that was God. I want it to be like I woke up and they said that there was cancer in my body, but by the time I pulled on the parking lot, something happened to me. And when I went back to the doctor, they couldn't find nothing in my body. That sounds like the hand of God. So Jesus, some stuff I got to do so you know that you know that you know that you know this was God. And let me tell you something, saints, the reason why I'm doing what I'm doing, because I've had some know that I know that I know that I know that I know that was God. I done had some stuff happen in my life that make me almost want to quit, but I remember, wait a second, I remember that. That was God. I know I haven't seen God. I know he hadn't come down and talked to me. I had visions. I've never been out of my body and went to heaven. I'm believing, I'm hoping and dreaming like all y'all, but there are some stuff that I know that I know that I know that was God. And when you have a personal experience with God, no atheist, no demon, no family member at no drunk family member at the family reunion can talk you out of what you believe. I don't care what you said. I don't care what you found on Google. I know God for myself. 11:20.
Martha said to Jesus, Lord, if you had been...
Sorry, 11:20.
So when Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went and met him, but Mary remained seated in the house.
All right, 21.
Martha said to Jesus, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died.
God, if you would have just got here earlier, if you would have just intervened earlier, I wouldn't be dealing with this grief had you moved quicker, sooner. Now, here's something we've got to understand. Death is final here, but it's not final there. So sometimes the loved one that we're hurt, that we no longer see, God has them with him. And so you can't always control what God does on the earth because we think they die, but they just cross from death unto life. And so sometimes they're needed there more than they're needed here, because if they stay here, they'll ruin their life. So God goes in and preserves them and take them there. And so sometimes when you want God to intervene, he doesn't intervene because he's playing chess while we see checkers. And so sometimes I want my loved ones saved. The only one they go, only way they're going to stay saved, they got to exit a little quicker than some of the other ones. And I know it's hard, but here's the thing. If you believe, you'll see them again. So just hold on. Just hold on. And we've, me and our family, we've been through it. We've seen my mother's brother be murdered. I mean, we're not talking about he just passed away in his sleep. We're talking about murder. We've seen some stuff happen that make you challenged. God, I done prayed. I done believed. It doesn't seem like we should be going through this. But guess what? Trouble hits all of our house, and God knows how to carry all of us through. And my mother, I know we just hear her read, but she's so anointed. She was able to sit on the stand in the courtroom and tell the perpetrator, we forgive you. You got to have a real relationship with God to be able to do that. And just because she's smiling and waving her hand doesn't mean she hasn't gone through some hard trials. But God is still the number one person on her life and in her priority, because Jesus will never let you down. You just got to believe and trust in him. Oh, yes. Verse 22.
But even now, I know that whatever you ask from God, God will give you.
I love Martha's response. God, if you would have been here earlier, I wouldn't be facing this. But, oh, I love the power of the conjunctive word but. The conjunctive word but, it cancels out the first half of what was said, and it brings in the last half, and the last half is more powerful than the first half. Let me give you an example. You are beautiful, but your breast ain't. But your breast ain't cancels out the first part. You're not thinking about the beauty. You're caught up on what was said last. And so what she said, if you would have came earlier, but I know you still can do something for me. Point number 8, sometimes the little you do know is all you need. And the reason why I come to church, because I know God is a deliverer. He may not have delivered now. He may not have delivered yet, but I still know he's able. I like the 3 Hebrew boys. They said, I'm going to step in the fire, and even if he don't deliver me, I know he's able. And what I know is all I need to know. I know God can. Even if it doesn't, I know he can. I'm going to serve him because I know he can. I'm going to serve him because he's God Almighty. I'm going to serve him because I believe in him. And what little I do know, that's enough to keep on going. You don't need to know the whole Bible. You don't need to know all the commentaries, all the dictionaries. All you need to know is what you know. And the little you do know is all you need to keep on going. 23.
Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again.
Your brother will rise again. 24.
Martha said to him, I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day.
Martha was thinking of something else. And Jesus said, your brother will rise again. Point number 9. Sometimes our faith is focused on the future when God's word is focused on the present. God said, your brother, Jesus said, your brother will rise. Martha said, yeah, I know he's going to get up in the resurrection, because her faith was in the future. But sometimes God's word is in the present. I know I'm going to have money someday, but you don't know that God has a way of changing your situation right now, not right now. I'm talking when it's faster than right now, it's R-A-T now, rat. Now, sometimes God can do it right now, so quick, so fast that it'll blow your mind that you was in one situation one day, the next day it had already turned around. Because when God's word comes, it's not always for future faith. Sometimes now faith is. And I know we've gone through some trials, and I know we've seen some stuff in the distance, and you got to keep on walking and keep on pushing. But God is ready for some immediately's, some suddenly's, some straight ways, some right now. And what Jesus was saying, I'm not talking about later on. I'm talking about in the here and now. Right now. Like Brother Donald Smith used to always say, I don't just want cake on my plate when I wait. While I wait, he said, I don't want the pie in the sky in the sweet by and by. I want some cake on my plate while I wait. I don't want everything to happen in heaven. Thank God for heaven, but I want some stuff right now. I need some deliverance right now. I need some peace right now. I need some healing right now. God, I want some stuff now. Some stuff is not going to do me any good when I get to heaven. Some stuff I need. Sometimes you have to grab the word. Now, it doesn't mean that God's going to always move now, but when his word comes, you got to know when his word is not talking about now and not just future. Sometimes y'all hear a word and be like, ooh, that was a good word. Someday it's going to come into my life. No, I want you to grab it now. In June, I preached a message called It's My Winning Season. And Sister Teresa, she grabbed that for right now. Not 2019, not 2020, but the moment I preached it, she said, I want that for me. You got to know when a word belongs to you right now. I'm not waiting till you give me some nice slogan for 2019 New Year's Eve. I want something right now before this year ends. I need a word now. Boy, y'all making me work up in this sanctified church. John 11:25.
Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live.
What you looking for? I am. What you need? I am. What you've been hoping for? I am. What you've been wanting? I am. What you've been praying for? I am. Point number 10. From Lazarus to now, God is still telling us whatever we need, I am. From Pharaoh to Lazarus now. The first time he said it was when Moses said, who am I going to tell them when you said, let my people go? He said, tell them I am that I am sent you. I am that I am. Well, I need some peace. I am peace that I am. Well, I need some joy. I am joy that I am. Well, Martha said, I need some resurrection. I am that I am. I am what you need. And here's something for us Christians to understand. Oftentimes we get our focus off of the I am and onto the trouble. And we forget about the I am and we focus on trouble. We're just like Peter. We get off of Jesus and we get on the trouble and we begin to sink. Stop looking at the trouble and look at the I am. Helps to even confess, I am over your life. Because if the I am is in you, there's some I am that you can say, I am a mighty man of valor. This is something, I was doing something every now and then, I joke just sometimes to help my own confidence. I'm confident in what I do now, but I wasn't always confident. And so I struggle with self-esteem. So every now and then to help my confidence, I look in the mirror and say, you a good looking brother. I tell myself that out loud. Just to help myself. Don't always believe it because sometimes I feel like I'm looking rough. But I tell it anyway. But I done said it enough to at least halfway believe it. I at least believe that Devin can at least stay with me. I at least believe it enough. I'm not afraid to take a picture anymore. I at least believe it that much. But God said now, instead of just saying that, say I'm a mighty man of valor. So when I look in the mirror, I say, I'm a mighty man of valor. I am what God called me to be. I am the angel of this house. I am the prophetic servant here. I can do what needs to be done because I am a mighty man of valor. You ought to look at yourself and say, I'm a woman of God. I'm a child of God. I'm a king. I'm a priest. I am an entrepreneur. I am healed. I am prosperous. I am blessed. You got to talk to yourself. But you're not talking to yourself. You're talking to the God down on the inside of you. You're telling the I am that's inside of you, step up and make everything that I say become reality in my life. Yeah. That's okay if it don't happen overnight. Keep on talking it. We confess our deliverance consistently. John 11:26.
And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this?
And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. Let me help you, some of y'all who've buried loved ones. And you don't know, when they didn't go to church like we went to church. And I don't know, but he says, everyone who believes in me. Some of them may not have went to church like you went to church, but they still believed in him. And because they believed in him, they couldn't die. Even though cancer took them out, they couldn't die. Even though a murderer took them out, they couldn't die. Even though drugs took them out, they couldn't die. Even though an enlarged heart took them out, they couldn't die. Because of what they believed and who they believed. And I wish the church would preach the truth. You don't have to change. All you got to do is believe. You might be addicted, but I need you to believe. You might be messed up, but I need you to believe. You might be a whore, but I need you to believe. You might be a backslider, but I need you to believe. You might be a drug dealer, but I need you to believe. And if I can get you to believe, you can't die because the I am in you will rise up. And when the devil tries to say that one belongs to me, he steps up and say, I am his provider. I am her protector. I am. And she's going to have access to heaven. So tell people about the good news of Jesus Christ. Stop shacking up all the time. Shut up with that and tell them that God loves them. And tell them, ask them, do they believe? Yes, they're shacking up, but I want them to believe. Because if they die while they're shacking up before they come to the church, I want them to go to heaven. So give them something. But some of us are like the prodigal son's brother. If they don't come the way we come, if they don't stay like we stay, if they don't pray like we pray, they deserve hell forever and ever and ever. Some of y'all have some sadistic, crazy minds if you think somebody who makes a few mistakes should burn for the rest of their life eternity. He going straight to hell. People be saying like they're happy about it. If he's going straight to hell, why don't you do something to help? Oh, the reason why you can't help because you're in hell already and don't even know it. That's another message, another lesson for another time. This was interesting to me. I came to, this is point number 11. Only have 6 more points to go. Point number 11 was where we got the title from. God's question on 11, 11, 11. From the 11th chapter of John is still, do you believe? It's my 11th point. It's on the 11th month. It's the 11th day, but it's not the 11th year. Somebody say, why you say 11, 11, 11? Well, 2018, if you add 2018, the numbers in 2018, 2 plus 0 plus 8 plus 1, they come to 11. 11, 11, 11, 11th point, 11th chapter. Why does all this mean? I don't know the prophetic meaning of all this. All I know is that God gave it to me, and while I was looking at it, all this stuff was aligning. And what I'm saying to you, you may need to go play the lottery. Something may be happening. I don't know what you need to do. Hey, you might. I don't know how God gonna do it, but this is a moment in time you can't miss. I don't know what's happening, but God can do anything. You got to believe. But my question to you is, do you believe? It's not about just going to the casino. It's not about just, it's about, do you believe? Do you believe he controls the universe? Do you believe he knew you would be here at this time, in this place, at 11 a.m. to come to the house of God? He knew what I would tell you. He knew some stuff was dead in your life. And I want to know, do you believe? Amen. maybe, well, you don't know the stuff I've done in my life. And you, but do you believe? But you know, I might be gay. But do you believe? All I want to know is, do you believe it? Can you believe? All things are possible if you believe. If you believe. If you believe. I need some believing people. I need some faithful people. I need some praying people. I need some believing people. I need some hoping people. I need some dreaming people. Let me ask again, do you believe? I believe. Lord, I believe. How about you touch yourself and say, Lord, I believe. Oh, let's go further than that. Let's do like the man said, Lord, I believe, but help my unbelief. Wherever I don't believe, help me, God. I'm ready to believe. I'm ready to believe. I'm ready to believe. Ready. I'm ready. I'm ready. Not get ready, get ready, but I'm ready. I'm ready. I'm ready to believe. I believe I can fly. I believe I can touch the sky. I think about it every now and then. I believe. Believe. Well, Pastor Andre, you talked about every seat filled, and there's a bunch of empty seats. So why are you preaching and sweating? Because I still believe. An empty seat can't stop me from believing. Well, you haven't come off your job yet. You still got a pastor and go to work, but I still believe. I don't care what I'm dealing with. Well, you've been driving the same car the last 10 years. I still believe. I believe God. And I'm going to keep believing. And I'm going to keep pressing. And I'm going to keep hoping. And I'm going to keep preaching. And I'm going to keep pressing. And I'm going to keep doing the will of God. And one day you're going to look at me and say, maybe that's why he believed. And some folk will say, I always believed in him. No, you didn't. You're lying, but it's okay. We all going to enjoy it. I believe. Some people tell me, you're too big to be in Muncie. You shouldn't be here. But this is where God called me to be. So I believe. I'm not going to Atlanta and Memphis and L.A. to preach. I'm preaching right here because I believe. Oh, yes. John 11:27.
She said to him, yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is coming into the world. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live.
We went back to that verse because she said, I believe you're the Son of God. She didn't say she believed in the resurrection, but previously he told her I was the resurrection. So even though she didn't believe at all, she got it because she believed in him. See, some stuff is too hard for you to believe at all. But if you can just believe enough, God can pull you on in. Verse 30.
Now, Jesus had not yet come into the village, but was still in the place where Martha had met him.
Jesus is so slick. He hadn't even went to where they were. He was waiting for them to come to him. All right, let's go to 31.
When the Jews who were with her in the house, consoling her, saw Mary rise quickly and go out, they followed her, supposing that she was going to the tomb to weep there.
Martha told Mary that Jesus is here. Mary was crying. She gets up and runs and goes to Jesus. But all the people that was consoling Mary didn't know what she was doing, so they followed Mary to Jesus. Point number 12. We always want God to come to us, but he wants us to come to him and bring others with us. The reason why he allows you to be in the world is to be a testimony and a light so people can see your life, and whenever you move, they move. Like what Ludacris said, when you move, I move, just like that. And when you move to the house of God, somebody gonna follow you just like that. They want to know why you so happy in this economy. Why you so happy when the person you voted for didn't get in the office. I got to know what keeps you ticking when you take a licking. And they got to come.
come and find out what you're doing. And so they come with you. Thank you, Bishop. I appreciate it. If don't nobody like it, my daddy like it.
Yes, preach this word.
That's all I need right there.
Yeah.
Yes, sir. My God, I almost tuned up just on that. 11:33.
When Jesus saw her weeping and the Jews who had come with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in his spirit and greatly troubled.
I skipped over the shortest verse in the entire Bible which said Jesus wept, but this says he was deeply moved in his spirit and he was greatly troubled. Now we know that he said this sickness is not in the death. He said that from the get-go. This is not about death. So Jesus wasn't dying or crying because Lazarus had died, because Jesus already knew it wasn't about death, and Jesus already knew he was the resurrection. What Jesus was troubled about is all these folk that know me and they still don't believe. After all I've done, after all they've seen, after all I've taught, they still look at me like I'm just nothing. And let me tell you this. Sometimes y'all do your pastor, your sweet pastor, the same way. You'll look at me like I ain't preaching nothing. You look at me like I ain't about nothing. You can't pay for some of the messages I've been giving you. Do you know what you have? Do you know the Christ down inside of me? Don't you look over me because you know who I am. And that's what they did with Jesus. Isn't that the carpenter's son? Ain't that Royce's boy? Yes, it is. But I'm anointed from on high with a message in my mouth that will deliver the captives free. You ought to believe, and you ought to invite somebody. You ought to tell somebody to come to church. I shouldn't have to beg you to get on Facebook. You ought to beat me. You ought to annoy me with how much you talk about me to other people, because it's not about me. It's about the God that I serve and the cross that stands behind me. It's about Jesus. 38.
Then Jesus, deeply moved again, came to the tomb. It was a cave, and a stone lay against it.
Verse 39.
Jesus said, "Take away the stone." Martha, the sister of the dead man, said to him, "Lord, by this time there will be an odor, for he has been dead 4 days."
Before I get to point number 13, what's beautiful, I don't believe just he was deeply troubled in his spirit because of the unbelief. I believe he saw a glimpse of the death he was going to and the tomb that he would lay in and how he would have to take all sin on him. And I got to take just a little minute and talk about that. Do you understand all sin? Sin that hadn't even happened yet. He had to take it all and be judged for it all. The most vile sin you could ever think of, it was laid on him, and he was a perfect sinless man. Came from heaven, landed in a manger, and couldn't even be treated any better than being stuck on the cross. But he took all sin. The molester, the one who molests two-month-old babies, that sin is placed on him. Now, we're not talking about, oh, I just lied. I'm talking about the sickest, most disgusting things you can think of. It was laid on him. The actions of Hitler were laid on Jesus. So he was deeply moved because he had accepted all for people who had not even been born yet. But God committed his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. It's a whole nother gospel message. But verse point number 13, coming from Martha, said, "Hey, I don't know if we should open up the tomb." Unlike us, God is not ashamed to deal with our stinky stuff out in the open. I don't want to come to church because I got these addictions. Come on, bring your addicted self to the house of God. God wants to take your stinky stuff and wash you right in the middle of church. And you've been here 2 years, and one day you wake up and don't have desires and don't know when it went, because God don't mind you open up the stone and your stinky stuff showing, and God can fix even the stinky stuff. He's better than tied with bleach. He can wash you all the way. What can wash away my stain? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. 11:40.
Jesus said to her, "Did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God?"
Didn't I tell you Didn't I warn you? Didn't I prophetically speak to you? If you believed, you'd see the glory of God. Didn't Pastor Andre tell you? Didn't Apostle Mitchell tell you? Didn't Lady Devin tell you? Didn't Sister Ruther tell you? Didn't Apostle Rankin tell you? Didn't Mother Mitchell tell you? Just believe. You're going to see the glory of God. I don't know when, I don't know how, but God going to turn it around. If you can believe, didn't I tell you? Didn't JB sing about it? Didn't Sharita sing about it? Didn't Brother Patton read about it? Didn't Teresa pray about it? Believe God. You're going to see the glory of God in this day and age. In the land of the living, you're going to see God's miraculous power. It's going to happen. Do you believe? I told you. I told you so. I told you so. I told you so. Woo! Some of y'all going to come to me with testimonies. You're going to come to me in midnight hours and give me testimonies. And all I'm going to say is, I told you so. Woo! Pastor, my job sent me on a trip to Jamaica. I bumped into some man. He said he wanted to marry me. I don't know what I'm supposed to do. Didn't I tell you so? Stella, go get your groove back. Didn't I tell you so? I don't know how, I don't know when, but I told you so. He's able to do it. He's able to do it. He's able to do it. Told you so. Look at these empty instruments. It won't always be like that. I told you so. Oh, it won't always be like that. Go find the raggedest car in the parking lot and look and say, it won't always be like this. I told you so. You're going to see the glory of God. Verse 41.
So they took away the stone, and Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me.
No, that ain't what he said. He said, oh, God, great Jehovah, if you can just come through and touch this pilgrim barren land, I know I'm weak, but thou art mighty. And God, I know I'm tore up, and I'm a sinner down from the ground, tore up from the floor up. If you can do, that's not what he said. He said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. He hadn't even opened up his mouth, but he knows how his father operates. Before you even say it, his father knew about it. So I don't have to talk like that. I can just say, Father, I already know you know. Point 14, read that for me, Mother Mitchell.
God wants us to get rid of all these begging prayers and approach the throne with boldness.
Oh, approach it with boldness. Approach it like you ain't never sinned in your life. Approach it like you're not guilty. Approach it like it belongs to you. Approach it like you a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a powerful people. Approach what you need. You say, God, I already know you heard it, but bring it on, God, bring it on. Turn it around, God, turn it around. Fix it, God, fix it. Grace, grace, God, whatever you need, go boldly. Tired of all these begging prayers. Tired of all these crying prayers. Tired of all these, oh God, don't love me prayers. Go boldly for the throne of grace. Receive what you need. Your time of need. I'm closing 11:42.
I knew that you always hear me. But I said this on account of the people.
I love the confidence of Jesus, because sometimes it seems like God doesn't hear. But Jesus said, I know you always hear. There's not a sound I can make that you don't hear. You hear my prayers while I'm asleep. Let me throw a little quick rabbit trail on you. We always talk about Solomon and how awesome it was for Solomon that Solomon said, when God said, ask for anything, Solomon said, just give me wisdom. We think it's awesome because he made the right choice, but if you read it closely, Solomon was asleep. God came to him in a dream, and in the dream, he said the right thing in the dream, and God blessed. Sometimes if you're awake, you'll mess up and say the wrong thing. God will put you straight to bed and get what he needs. He'll make you pray prayers while you sleep, and you wake up and have stuff changing and moving around in your life and don't know where it came from. God wants some of y'all to go to bed so he can work. John 11:43.
When he had said these things, he cried out with a loud voice, Lazarus, come out.
Here's Jesus. He already know what he's going to do. So to be honest, this is unnecessary for Jesus to be loud. He already know what he's going to do. But like in King James, he just, Lazarus, come forth. So why would he do that? Let me put number 15. Sometimes God is just showing off. Just because he can. There's some stuff God going to do in your life. He going to show off just because he can. Well, I already have two houses. I don't need another one. I know you don't need it. I know you don't want it. But I'm going to do it just because I want to show off and show how good I am. I know your child got 30 years in prison, but I'm going to bring him out in 10 because I'm just that good and I'm ready to show off. God does some stuff just because he's God. Ah, yeah. 11:44, read that.
The man who had died came out, his hands and feet bound with linen strips and his face wrapped with a cloth. Jesus said to them, unbind him and let him go.
Let me add a little practicality. Yes, it said loose him and let him go. But let me close with, I know we're on the high, but let me close with some practicality. Number 16, just because you've seen the miraculous in your life doesn't mean you still won't need further deliverance. He came up resurrected, but he was still bound hand and foot. God can pull you out of stuff, but you still need some deliverance. You're never so cute and you're never so sexy. You're never so holy that you don't still need some deliverance. But I serve a God that says, loose them, let them go. I know you're still messed up, but I say, loose them, let them go. I don't just want to resurrect them. I want to totally deliver them from the rooter to the tooter, from the top of the head to the sole of their feet. I want to deliver you to the uttermost, to the utmost. Jesus saves. Loose them. Let them go. Some of y'all are delivered, but you're not yet loosed. You're still bound. You're still bound with low self-esteem. You're still bound with depression. And we're not mad at you. We're not talking about you. But you got to know you need some more deliverance. You need the house of God. You need preaching. You need some singing. You don't need to miss it here because you need some loosing in your life. And that includes the man holding the mic.
The plot to kill Jesus. Many of the Jews, therefore, who had come with Mary and had seen what he did, believed in him.
He did it so they would believe. Verse 46.
But some of them went to the Pharisees.
She'll be back. Oh, wait a second. Let me get it back there real quick.
But some of them went to the Pharisees and told them what Jesus had done.
All right, 53.
So from that day on, they made plans to put him to death.
This is how I'll close. 17 point number 17, read that.
God's supernatural deliverance in your life is what really stirs up the demons and the haters.
Instead of them believing, they said, this is proof we got to kill him. He did everything so that they can come. He was giving them one last chance to believe. Some of them believe, but the religious folks said he got to go. And let me tell you something, you're not really delivered, you're not really resurrected until you irritate irritate the mess out of religious folk. Religious folk ought not to be able to be around you. It ought to stir up the demons in religious people because you might preach like forever in a hat and a sweatshirt. You don't need to do the rules and the regulations because you're not bound by rules and regulations and denominations. You're so holy. You're so anointed. Folk don't know you got a tattoo, but you're still anointed. You are what God says you are. But when you start walking like this, sometimes it's the church folk that get stirred up the most. The world gonna love you and start running in and say, this is the type of preaching I want. But some of your pastor friends, some of your missionary friends, some of the people you had Bible study at MCL, and you call it Bible study, but you're really gossiping about every church in the town, some of those people are going to get irritated. But guess what? We're not caring about that. We're doing the will of God. Amen. And guess what we're going to do? We're going to try to get the religious folk delivered too. They need deliverance too. Whoever want it, we want them to have it. But it's our time. My question to you as I close, do you believe? Yeah. Right, let's stand to our feet. I'll tell you one thing, it's hotter preaching than I had. I'll tell you that much. I believe. It's not easy, but I believe. Everything's not fixed, but I believe. I got trials I'm facing, but I believe. And I believe my belief will make things possible. Let's bow our heads. Dear gracious Heavenly Father, come to you humbly. Thank you for the word that you've given me for your people. And even the people that may have heard it online, and those who may hear it through podcasts. It's not just to deliver simple messages, for all of us to believe. In this season where political unrest and civil unrest and violence everywhere, the church must be the church. Christians must be about their Father's business. But first, we got to believe. But God, you help us. No matter what we face, no matter what we go through, don't let us lose our belief. Don't let us cast off our vision. Don't let us give up our hope. If we're still breathing, give us hope to believe that all things are possible. In Jesus' name. Amen. And amen.